Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go. Welcome back, everyone. This is Jeff Brandeis from How We Scaled. Today, we have a very, very special guest, Wani Iris Manley. I am so fortunate to have Wani on our show today. She is the founder at Where Inspiration Meets Lore, LLC. I know she's going to provide us some tips that we all as entrepreneurs can use in our business. So, Wani, tell us a little bit about a high level about what you do and what makes you so unique.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for having me. And thank you for all those that are actually listening. So what I do is really I help entrepreneurs, coaches, experts, consultants really make their businesses legal, specifically on the online space, which is where we all are pretty much going these days with all of, giving with COVID and with what's happening around the world with businesses. And everyone's kind of, either are being forced to be entrepreneurs or people that have always wanted to be entrepreneurs are now stepping into the space. And so what I found and why I created Where Inspiration Meets Law is that there are so many entrepreneurs that are out there that want to start a business, but their business are not legal, meaning they're not using like legal contracts. They don't have their content protected. They don't know. They're afraid of legal. They avoid legal. For example, what I find with most entrepreneurs, like they tend to leave legal out of the picture until something goes wrong. Whereas corporations, on the other hand, before they even put out a reopen for business sign, the first person that CEO goes and speaks to is a lawyer, and then also an accountant as well. So I'm not just kind of bringing that mindset and that perspective to entrepreneurs and consultants and experts in the space.
So you're a lawyer.
I am. Yes, I have for nearly two decades.
Wow. And you're working with entrepreneurs to basically protect them from...
Exactly. So I started off in corporate, working with big, in-house companies. And then, but now in the last couple of years, I've really been focusing on entrepreneurs because I personally think that's the sector of the economy that really needs it the most. It's the single member LLCs or the person that has a DBA that's just kind of sitting at home that has this idea, and wants to create the next big thing, but they're just really completely clueless as to where, what do they do with their business to actually make it legal, not just from a protection standpoint, from also to from a growth and a scaling standpoint as well, too.
So I understand. I'm probably just like one of your ideal clients or prospects, I should say. So from a entrepreneur perspective, what's the single most aspect of, I started a business, I'm not that concerned with, legal yet. I haven't even gotten, X dollars yet. And already I'm getting ready to protect myself from what, I guess. What do you tell the clients?
That's an excellent question, Jeff. I mean, it's like what I was saying before, number one is to really adjust the mindset when it comes to looking at legal, when it comes to, for entrepreneurs, and to also see legal that it's not just from a place of a protectionism, but also to how you actually grow your business, right? Like one of the things that I talked a lot about people or with entrepreneurs and business owners is trademarking. Everyone's in the business of actually building a business and building a brand. And if you're not building a brand while you're building a business, I'm sorry, but you're going about it wrong. But if you're online, if you're putting out content, if you've got a podcast, if you're writing blogs, if you're submitting to, to these big publications, I mean, that's content you actually are putting out there. You have to actually be able to be looking to protect that from an intellectual property standpoint, but to really see how can you actually use that to scale to create additional revenue streams for your income. For example, if you have let's just say someone's in a digital digital products business, right? Or if they're producing, you know, courses, you could actually license that off, you know, to an organization, to a university, to an association, and to begin, you know, begin extra income from that, or you can become an influencer. So there's so many different ways when you actually start to incorporate legal from your business, not from a, oh my God, I need to protect myself. Absolutely, yes. And to be operating in the great confines of the law, but it's also to how you have to scale your business. Now you can pretty grow it pretty quickly.
So Wani, I know, I'm sure you hear this as well. I can go out and search for business terms on Google. I can come up with contracts out there on Google. What makes you, you know, obviously better than Google and the forms that I find out there as the standard, you know, contracts?
I'm so glad you said that because I literally just wrote my content for social media today. It literally is real businesses use real contracts, you know, by drafted by a lawyer. And so from the first place, it's, you know, one of the issues with entrepreneurs when you're first starting out is that this thing that you're doing is not going to feel like a real business right away, right? Because you may be in low cash flow, you may know what you're actually doing. And so from an alignment standpoint, it's like you have to do the things for the business to feel like a real business, right? Especially in these days where most of us are operating, or most entrepreneurs are operating from the internet. You know, I grew up, you know, traditional schooling, you know, go to university, college, law school, you know, get a job at the law firm, which is what I did, you know. How many of us, unless you're a millennial, grew up where your parents were telling you, hey, go on the internet, try to make money, right, from your social media profile, right, and go out there and be vulnerable. And so these things to our mindset, to our subconscious mind, does not really feel like we actually have a real business. But when you start doing the things that actually makes a business feel like a real business, it actually becomes that, you know? And also too, it's like, you know, you get what you pay for, right? If you're going to internet and trying to piece together your contracts, do you think you really are actually protected from that? You're not protected from your perspective, and you're not protecting your client's perspective, and you're still putting your business, you know, at a certain risk and actually putting yourself in liability for that, right? And so again, I mean, there's many, many options. You know, I came from big law, you know, but there's lawyers in business that actually kind of like streamline, where they don't charge by the hour, they do by the value that they actually provide, or there's actually, you know, that sells legal templates. So there's something out there for everyone, to the point to where you should not be out of your lane and going out there and trying to create your own contracts from Google.
Oh, I know a lot of people do that. So I think there's some solid advice out there for sure. So if I was to look at you and your company and the culture that you bring, what makes you unique? And if I was to start working with you, what might I notice?
Well, first of all, you'll notice I'm very, very personable. You know, I have managed to take, you know, a very complicated subject or area where people find they need to avoid, they find very scary, and I make it very easable, very digestible, very approachable for people, right? So, you know, and I think it's very, very important, because there seems to be like this type of barrier between lawyers and the outside public, where there may be a lack of their trust, or everyone's saying to us we're very expensive, right? And so you'll notice right about me is I actually break down the stereotypes. And I'm not a traditional lawyer. In fact, one of my biggest compliments is when people meet me, they're like, wow, I would never think you're actually like a big law, you know, corporate business securities type lawyer. I'm like, I've been doing it for almost 20 years, you know? And so for me, that's first and foremost. And also too, I also do very streamlined service and make it affordable, but to the point to where you actually feel like it's like valuable as well too. So there's many, many choices out there. And I said, and I'm also very personal. And I think for people like doing business with, they feel like they can trust you, they like you. I'm all over the internet. You can search me. My books are out there, and it's like I have nothing to hide. You know?
You're right. I mean, I think if you go back, one of the things you said earlier is there's that barrier between individual and lawyer. And then you get something provided by a lawyer and you try to read it. And the average person just goes, you know, the mind just goes, you know, zip, zap, because we don't understand it. So there's that always that tendency when you interact with a lawyer and they provide you documents of, hey, just sign it. Trust me, it's the right thing to do. It's like, well, I like to understand what I'm actually signing here.
No, I totally get it. And I make it easy for people because I'm firm believer you need to understand exactly what you're signing, what, you know, especially not for your business, but is for your concern in general, even if it's on a personal matter, you know, you need to be exactly, you know, be aware of what the hell you're like, you're fixing your signatures too. So.
You mentioned just earlier, a book. So tell everyone about your book.
Wow. So my book has nothing to do with legal, actually. So it's called Get Out of Survival Mode and Live the Life That You Really Want. And it's really all about living life from a heart-centered place and doing exactly what you want to do. Because so many of us are programmed to do things that our parents wanted us to do. We're trying to make them happy. And so what we find ourselves in is like, you know, we have, for example, I've read and also been told that in New York, there are so many yoga teachers that are actually lawyers now, right? Because they all found out, I actually hate what I'm actually doing, you know? And so, and it's just, it looks at all the beliefs, limited beliefs that we have and attitudes and structures that keeps us living a life of struggle, a strife of just surviving rather than thriving. You know, we have a lot of programming that says like work is not supposed to be fun, that it's not, it has to be hard work. And so many people are actually in jobs they actually hate. They're working 9 to 5. They're not really in it for, you know, seeing themselves as an integral part of the company. And they're on the side trying to create a coaching business, right? Or an expert speaking business to actually get out there to eventually quit that 9 to 5 and do what makes their heart sing. And, you know, we only have one life to live, you know, and it's not a dress rehearsal. So it's either now or it's like, what, you know, it doesn't get done.
I love it. It's all very true. So the title of our podcast here is How We Scaled. So provide our listeners some things that you've done to grow your business over the past few years.
So I'll tell you what I have done. I have completely utilized social media, and I've utilized social media as well as authenticity and my own brand unique voice. So, for example, my social media now is completely for valuable. I just give out, you know, free value content to people to kind of like, and just to break that barrier when it comes to running a business for entrepreneurs, number one. Number two, I'm not afraid. You have to show your personality and you have to let people know who you are. I have scaled from actually speaking on very controversial issues because now we live in a world where, you know, it's very vanilla in a sense of everyone's kind of saying the same thing. It's all a big echo board, right? People are afraid to touch like the things that ruffle people's feathers. And I would say, don't be controversial for the sake of being controversial. Be controversial if that's really who you are in terms of what you're saying is what you actually believe. I can tell I've had more people buy from me, they love my content, but I've had more people come into my inbox and say, I agree with you. I stand with you in this position. I admire your courage to say the things that people don't want to say. By the way, can I please buy from you? And so I want to tell people, like, don't be afraid to show your personality. You know, you're not trying to cater to everybody. If you are, you'll never make money in the business. I mean, you figure out who your ideal target client is, and you speak to that people, and you speak to their truth. Whomever resonates with you, your people will find you. There's like, what, 8.45 billion people on the planet, and what Facebook has a commodity, and like on WhatsApp and everything. There's plenty of businesses out there for you to speak your voice. So authenticity and utilizing social media in a way that serves people, but then also is like your unique, you know, identifier.
It's so true. It's so true. So you talked about several things that I truly love. One is really people will do business with people who they like and trust, obviously. And it's great when you can build that rapport and you have that conversation and go, and they go, yeah, I want to do business with you. Obviously makes that sales cycle, you know, much easier than having a cold call, so to speak, and build a warm lead is obviously a lot better than trying to build somebody from a cold. But if you're speaking to them and they understand what you're talking about and you build that trust and give that value, it really helps to cut down the, you know, time frame also for making that sale. So you also talked about your finding your niche or your market. So do you have one in particular or industry that you really like to focus in on?
Yes, for our Inspiration Meets Law, we specifically focus on entrepreneurs, coaches, consultants, and, you know, and heart-centered businesses, the business that actually want to make an impact, you know, which is you and your audience, you know. And so because for me, I think we're at a time in life, given the gift of COVID has been for all of us to kind of dig deep. And to say, what was I meant to actually be doing in this life? Like, what did I actually come to actually do? Let me disconnect from the things that I actually hate doing, you know, and actually focus my attention. So for me, it's coaches, of all coaches from all types, you know, whether you're by yourself or you're doing executive coaching, it's people in the expert business, right? The content creators, the people that want to make an impact. So that's what I'm actually, I love working because these are the visionaries I find. These are the people that actually want to make the world a better place because that's also a personal project for me as well too. People just really care, honestly.
The big niche. covers lots of areas.
It is, but honestly, if I have to put it in one word, it's coaches. It's coaches, and I just coaches of all types. Yeah.
So, where do you see yourself investing resources over the next year or so for growth?
Well, so I'm actually, you know, I'm in Paris, and so I've just created a French version of my company, which is called the House of Inspirational Business, and so I do see myself going to publishing. And to making like both of these companies, you know, there's like one arm is the legal aspect of it, because what I find lacking with the entrepreneurial space is just, or the creative space rather, is a lack of legals, you know, for the business. So I just want to help people like really get their publishing out there, get the work out there. So for example, there'd just be one specific house for trademark and copyrights, and then also to go into book publishing as well too. And also too for podcasting in terms of really how to maximize out your content.
Gotcha. So I know most people who are starting out, and I know I did this too, you struggle with, am I a DBA or should I do an LLC? Should I incorporate? What would you, you know, tell somebody that's just starting out?
If you're just starting out, first of all, go and make a book an appointment to talk to a lawyer. Please do not go into Facebook and to do legal consultations with a bunch of non-lawyers who have never set foot in a law school, never sat for a bar exam, or have a license to actually practice them, which is what I see all the time, right? Before you start your business, you know, before you put anything out there, if money is an issue for you, wait a little bit and create some type of income and go and book a call with the lawyer and get and discuss what your vision is for the company, what you actually want to do, and then ask and then get the guidance as to what is the correct proper structure for you. I am always of the mindset to start your business right away, to incorporate right away, whether you have your first client or not. And the reason being is that number one, you know, having a business is actually legal act. You can then start taking advantages of the different perks of actually becoming a business, right? And as you're preparing a business, not just from a tax purpose as well too, but again, going back to the whole mindset piece, if you treat your business like a real business, it becomes that, you know? And so, and from the very early on, I was like, okay, look at where, you know, what are your services, right? And approach legal for what you need at the moment. Let's just say, for example, if you have a coach and you've got a one-on-one, you're doing private coaching, right? At that moment, what you really need is a private one-on-one client agreement. If you have a website, you need to make sure your legal documents on your website are up to par, which means you need to have a GDPR privacy policy, your terms and conditions, your disclaimers like limiting your liability, right? If you have a product-based business, okay, you need to make sure your terms of service actually is on when people, you know, at the point of sale, where people can actually review your terms of service. If you have a no refund policy, you need to have it conspicuously laid out onto your website. So wherever you are in your business at that moment, focus on that and make sure everything at that point is actually legal. If you have a website and it's just meaning like your front yard, but you're doing all of your work through your social media with a lot of entrepreneurs are doing because, hey, I mean, the tool is there for you, right? Then make sure those legal documents that we find on your website are also placed into your Facebook as well too. Assume if you have a Facebook group, you know what I mean? So you would have, and you know, in the guide section, okay, here's my terms and conditions, you know, here's my disclaimer. So that way, legally, you're covered all over the place. And now you can just, and as you grow, then you do that, okay, when you start a podcast, right? What you need is a podcast guest release, you know, to make sure that you actually own your intellectual property and you're not going to be liable if a guest comes on there. Is it supposed to be talking to you, number one, or is bringing out false information? So that way, you know, you're covered. If you have a membership site, right? Membership site terms. It's just deal with what you have at each very moment whenever you need it.
Wow, lots of things to think about. My aspect of my own business. What's the one thing that bugs you most in your industry?
It's the doing of your own contracts. You know, it's people going onto Google and getting contracts off of that and thinking that it literally is, it's going to protect them when they have no idea who wrote this contract, whether it was like some 16-year-old kid, you know, that, you know, you just never know. And thinking that is actually sufficient. So for me, that's like my biggest. And also, I would say, going onto social media and we're asking other non-lawyers legal questions and taking that advice.
If someone was just thinking about getting into your industry and do what you do, what kind of advice would you give them?
In terms of what, they wanted to be an attorney or they wanted to...
Yeah. And then
I would say make sure it's exactly what you want to do because it's crazy expensive.
That is true. Lawyer, doctor, everything. It's a cost of education.
Yeah, it's super expensive. But if you're like me and you know, this was like your path from you were very, very early on, I would definitely say the minute you walk into a school, you have to make all A's because it really does matter for an attorney where you went to school. And if you don't go into the top schools, you're not going to get a job. And it's such a saturated field. But and it's also saturated with a lot of unemployed lawyers too, as well too. So make sure like your grades, like you're not going to have a life. It's just that simple because you have to make all A's. Honestly, to be in a top school, if the score will only LSAT, take it very seriously because it's super expensive.
Gotcha. Yeah. Obviously, very passionate about what you do, and that's fantastic. When you're not working, what do you like to do to enjoy yourself?
Oh, at this moment, I'm actually perfecting my French. I'm in Paris. And so, you know, we've been out of, everything's been closed since October. So it's just not opening. So for me, really, it's getting out of the apartment and, you know, and just going to restaurants. The yoga studio is like just opened last week. So it really is kind of like getting back to a normal life. But I would say pre-COVID, for me, I'm obsessed with Bikram hot yoga. So I'm always in a yoga studio and really into mind body fitness. Things that is just completely outside of what you think I would be doing, what we're talking about.
Yeah. So tell our listeners, how can they find you? How can they get in touch with you?
The best place to find me is actually on Facebook, which is like it's my jam. That's my online home. Connect with my personal page. I give tons of value there every single day. So, you know, you can just connect with me there. But I also have a free gift. I would love to give your list just to really help them. So they're not making any mistakes on for the business. But if I can do that for you.
Fantastic.
Awesome. So what they can do, they can go to this web address. It's wani.inspirationmeetslaw.com/62mistakes. And what it is literally is the top 62 mistakes I've seen people making in our online businesses that will cause you to lose money and to lose clients, get sued and get shut down. So, and what to not be doing.
So it's Wani, W-A-N-I, at inspirationmeetslaw.com. .com/62mistakes.
Correction. It's wani.inspirationmeetslaw.com/62mistakes.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. Just wanted to make sure even I got that one.
My pleasure. Maybe I'll follow up with you and actually send you a link if that's helpful for you.
That'd be great. All good. Wani, thank you so much for joining us. And again, thank you, our listeners, for joining How We Scaled. This is Jeff Brandeis. And stay tuned. We'll have a next episode airing in a few more days after Wani just does. Thanks again. Everyone stay safe and be well.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast here and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and it'd be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.